You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Isaiah 9 verse 6, we want to finish off the last Sunday with this series that we've been speaking about, A Son Is Given, and we've been talking about this, very simple, is that what we've been saying is that when we look at that picture of Jesus being born and him lying in the manger with Mary and Joseph, and I've been saying it every week because I want you to fixate on that, because it's so easy to see that at this time of year. It's on cards, it's in shopping windows, it's in movies where you see Jesus as a baby. But it's not just so that we could have Christmas. The whole purpose of this, when you see Jesus, you got to know that in this scripture it tells us, one, you have a wonderful counselor. You have someone that's guiding you through life. You are not alone. Two, you have a mighty, mighty God. Your God is mightily fighting for you, powerfully with you. Again, you're not alone. There's hope in life when you see that picture. We looked at, you have an everlasting Father. You have someone who cares for you, who's correcting you and who's carrying you. And what we're going to deal with today, we also have a Prince of Peace. And so this nativity, as they call it, this picture has to give us encouragement. We have to say, you know what? God, I know that my best days are ahead of me. I know that no matter what is lurking and waiting for me in 2019, I can handle it because I have a wonderful counselor, someone that will guide me through all of the things that are going to hit me, someone who is actually mightily, mightily fighting for me, and I also have an everlasting Father. And so we want to just read this scripture. We've read it, but just to refresh our minds, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy, your love and your kindness. Father, we thank you that we have made it to this point in the year. We thank you not only that we are alive, but that we are in Christ, that we are in our church, that we're in fellowship with your people, the brethren. Father, I pray that you would continue to bless us. Father, we march into the new year, not with fear, not with intimidation, not with anxiety, but with your peace. Knowing, Father, that no matter what lurks around the corner, no matter what things will come up, we know, Father, that you are more than capable to handle them. And because you are in us, we can handle them. And we are in you, we know that we're in a safe place. And we ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I want to preach on the Prince of Peace, and I want to kind of talk about peace, and then I want to pray for some people at the end of this service, the last service of the year. I really want to take some time to pray with some people to really help them so that they get the victory. I want to say here, peace, you know, people use this word all the time, peace. If you grew up in the 80s and the 90s, it's like when you say goodbye to someone, you say peace. You know, and so it's just like, you know, peace, peace out. You know, that's what people say. But when the Bible speaks about peace, the word peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. It's a very powerful, powerful word. It's more than just, yeah, peace. Someone was doing the peace sign, weren't they, in the thing. And so it's more than that. And so we can be mistaken where we just, yeah, Prince of Peace. When we use the word peace, what do we usually say? Ah, give me some peace and quiet. Kids are going crazy. Work is going mad. We want some peace and quiet. To us, peace is almost nothingness. Like peace, it's just like, ah, everything's at peace. And it's very passive. But in the Hebrew, the word peace is not a passive thing. I want to say to you is that We really do need peace. I want to say to you that me and you, and not just if you're a Christian here, even if you're not a Christian, this is what we are all looking for. We are looking for this peace. And what we're talking about here is this inner tranquility, this inner peace, where you're at peace with yourself. You ever heard people say, that person, he seems like he's comfortable in his own skin. What that means is he's at peace with himself. See, so many times we're not at peace with ourselves. Some of the biggest problems of this world and some of the biggest problems that you are going through right now is that you don't have peace. You don't have peace with yourself. You don't have an inner peace. And so when you don't have an inner peace, there's a big problem. See, when you don't have an inner peace, you're trying to escape. I remember being a young guy. I went to America when I was about 18. I was going to America to live. My dad had moved to America when I was about 5. And so I was going to live with him. And so I went to America. And I remember just before I was going to America, I was sitting down with all my friends and I was telling them, listen, I'm going to America. And so you got to remember, this is the 90s. This is like, I'm not going to say anything. This is just the 90s, like a 90s concert. Amen. All them people you see on the concert flat, this is the 90s. So I'm like, I'm going to go there. And this is where, you know, there's hip hop and I'm into this kind of music and I'm wearing these clothes. And I was telling all my friends, listen, man, I'm going to be living the life. I'm going to, doing everything. And I remember thinking, I'm going to escape from the UK and I'm going to go to America and have this new life. And I was thinking about, obviously I'm not saved, so I'm thinking about girls and, you know, drugs and you know, just silly things. We'll stop it there. Because you're looking at me, what kind of boss is this? Where did he come from? And so this is what I'm thinking about, just the music and partying and all of that. And I get to America and, you know, some of this is playing out. But what I realized, it was pretty much the same as here. Like the people were doing the same things. We were just sitting around someone's house smoking weed. And it was that's what I did in London. And that's what I was doing in America. And after a while, that was boring. And then I was getting drunk in America. Sorry, drunk in England. And I was just, you know, in England, I was drinking Tennent's. In America, I was drinking 40s. And that's what they were calling this drink. And in England, you got, anyway, look, I'm educating you. You're Rizla, and then there you got Philly. And so all of these things were going on. And the reality is, it was the same. And I started to realize after a while, Courtney, it's the same. The happiness that I thought, the joy, there's the same anxieties and fear. Because let me tell you this now, the same insecure man who was in London got on the plane with me. And I don't mean another guy. I mean me. The same insecure man. And I remember thinking when I was in America, and I wasn't saved at that time, but I remember looking up and seeing planes in the sky, and I realized, Courtney, no matter where you go, if you don't change, it don't change. If you don't change, it don't change. If you ain't at peace with you. And so what I realized now, looking back, that when I got saved, that man changed. And even though what happened was I almost got kicked out of the country. I had to come back because my papers weren't in order. So I came back to the UK. And after being in the UK for about 6 months to a year, I got saved. And that is when everything changed. The moment I got saved, because then I got this peace. See, if you're not at peace with yourself, like I wanted to go to America, you're going to want to escape from you. And this is what we understand the world is constantly offering you. It's not offering you true peace. It's offering you escape from you. This is why when you look at the magazine, that woman can wear that dress that you've got on and you think she looks better than you. And you think, when I get that dress, I'm going to be like, and you get that dress that you saw on her and I still don't like me. Don't put your hand up. Just smile uncomfortably. And you're changing your hair, and you're changing this, and you're changing that. And listen, this is not an anti-fashion sermon. You can be fashionable, stay trendy, stay current. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is that many times, some of these things, if they go too far, they're an escapism. We're trying to escape. I've got no peace, so I've got to go. This is why people take drugs. You might be here, no, we take drugs for another reason. Listen, I took drugs. Not cracking that stuff. No, I was not a crackhead. But listen, if you're a crackhead, we're not judging you. There's hope for you. No, I'm not going to that church. And I judge the crackhead. We're just saying, listen, this is what it is. Isn't it an escape? When you smoke or you do this or you do that, you escape. What do you escape from? You. For a moment. Like I said, in the 90s, they would call it a blunt. That basically you're taking the edge off. You're blunting the reality. What are you trying to escape from? The reality is that I have no peace. What about alcohol? You might be in here, you heard a crackhead, but you have to sip a glass of wine every night. Wino. Sip insane. You know, that is, it's sophisticated, isn't it? Just a glass of wine every night. Oh, yeah, red wine with fish and white wine with meat. Listen, and it sounds so sophisticated. And we see people that are going to work in the morning with their briefcase and, oh, look, they've got it all together, not knowing they come home every night and have to get high on wine. Because, oh, no, it's not about that. Listen, you can't trick me. I was a wino. I was an alcoholic. You're like, this guy, thank God he's saved. Literally, every night I'd be drunk before I got saved. I got saved in 96. You could go back from 95, 94, 93. Basically, tenants had most of those years. You know why? It's because I felt confident and comfortable and better and braver and more free to be myself. Because you know what it was? I was escaping the reality as Courtney has no peace in himself. He's not at peace with himself. There's some of you here, you're insecure about how tall you are or how short you are or how dark you are or how light you are or how skinny you are or how large you are, and you're constantly chasing. I want to tell you, yes, be healthy, eat healthy, exercise regularly. This is right. But I want to tell you, don't try to change yourself every season. Every season you're trying to reinvent yourself, because many times all you're doing is trying to escape from you. Entertainment can be a form of escapism. You're watching a sitcom and you just keep watching it. It's like you're in it. When someone dies, you feel to cry. Think about it. Someone dies. It's like, oh, they're dead. I loved you. Live your life. And you start crying. And then they go, cut. And that person just washes the blood off. And it's like we feel we're so connected to this thing. We've escaped from our life. You're watching these famous people and they're getting plastic surgery and their shoes are high and they're beautiful and pump this and squeeze that and they're in lovely cars. And you're, but you're just like in your council flat. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you, you better stop watching and start learning some stuff. And I'm not judging no one. If you're happy, you're happy. Praise God. But if you want to move in life and do some stuff, you better turn off Netflix. You better turn off Netflix and start flicking some books, flicking some education, some learning. Because many times we don't like where we are in life. We don't like our station in life. We know there's something. Some of you here, there is no peace because something in you keeps saying, you can do more. You can do more. And you don't want to live with that. So you turn on the sitcom and you watch it for hours and hours and hours to escape. To escape from this thing that's reminding you because there's no peace. See, God doesn't want us to escape. And I could go on and talk about Instagram. How many know Instagram is like a rabbit hole? That thing is like YouTube. One time I was watching something on YouTube, like I was watching something about boxing. And before I knew it, I'd clicked, click, 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 click. I didn't look at nonsense, so I'm still in ministry. But before I knew it, I learned that 50 Cent has got beef with this guy. This little Mexican guy that looked about 12 and he's got all these funny color hair. I know who that brother is. And that brother, yeah, I'm coming for you. I was like, who's he coming for? I was like, yeah, these are definitely not the 90s. Because that guy would have got, anyway. But think about it now. How many know sometimes you can be on YouTube and you click and you click, click, and you can be on Twitter or Instagram. Listen, you better be careful because you're going to click on the next one. Who follows him? Hours and hours. And gaming. You know, playing, I don't know what people play now. Games. Call of FIFA. You know, sometimes some of you here, you've thought that you have addictive tendencies. Some of you, you've thought that you've had addictive tendencies and you're trying to break out of these cycles. But I want to tell you, sometimes you're trying to stop the symptom and not the sickness. What you've got to realize, the reason why you keep getting addicted to different things is because really what your problem is you're seeking escapism. And if we change what you're trying to escape from, this is what I love it because the Spirit is here. I could stay here. Listen, I love this role here, by the way. Yeah, this is the real deal. If you're in this role, it's real. Don't worry, I love you. Someone looked at me over here. Okay. But think about it now. Sometimes you're escaping, and you've escaped into this fashion. 1 minute it's fashion. It's all about fashion, fashion. Next minute, you've escaped into this thing. It's all about deeper things now, Egyptology. And we have to get you out of that. And then next week, you escaped into this thing. I think everything must be natural. Everything must be natural. I cannot touch plastic. I cannot touch. Oh, you've gone too far again. You're constantly trying to escape into one thing or another thing, hopping around. And we say, listen, at some point, maybe you just got to deal with what's going on here. What's going on the inside here? Because, and the world loves this. You know why? Because the world gets another year to sell you a whole new bunch of things you didn't need. That's why the world loves this. The world loves it that we're insecure. Because last year it made you buy all of this stuff. And this year it's going to tell you, no, that's out. Ain't about that, girl. It's about this now. And then you're like, oh yeah, I got to get all of this now. This is the trend now. And you just spent all that money on those red shoes. And now they're telling you, no, it's not about those no more. Because they've got a business. They're going to get a business. And so constantly, constantly, new fashions and new trends keep developing. And you got to say to yourself, you know what? I need inner peace. See, the problem is when you don't have inner peace, everything is out of sync. It's not quite right. You're out of sync with life. One time, many, many years ago, when we didn't have a drummer. That's why we thank God for the praise and worship team. Because some of you don't know what we're talking about. But we used to have a drum machine. That was our drummer, a machine, a little box. And it was like, do-do-ka, 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 do-do-ka. That was like every service. And so if it was praise and worship, like the faster music, it was do-do-ka, do-do-ka, do-do-ka. When it was worship, it was do-do-ka, do-do-ka. That was it. And one time we had like, I don't know what it was. The volume was kind of down on the drum machine. And so we had started the song. And then all of a sudden, everybody started clapping out of sync. And people at the side were clapping. And one thing was clapping. And it was just out of sync. And then I get really confused. I hate complex clapping. That's why I hate sometimes when it's like, hey. And then it's like, and then someone has to show off. I'm like, that's the Irish in me, man. Praise God. I'm more spiritual than all of you. It's out of sync. And so when you don't have inner peace, you're out of sync with everything. This is why your marriage is out of sync. Your marriage has no rhythm to it. This is why your finances are out of sync. This is why everything is out of sync. Nothing will be synchronized. Nothing will be straight. Nothing will be clear. You're not going to feel confident and comfortable and at peace until you receive this inner peace that Jesus wants to bring. I want to say not all, but much of anxiety comes from a lack of peace. You're anxious. You're on the edge. Anxiety. Some of you even have anxiety attacks because there's no inner peace. When there's an inner peace, there's a rhythm to life. It's like, yeah, well, you know what? There's ups and there's downs. And you've got this peace about you. There's a rhythm to life. You know, listen, God works in seasons. This is winter right now. We put a coat on. Summer's coming soon. T-shirts and shorts again. This is how it is in life, that you're like, well, right now things are a bit tight in our finances, but we're not going to kill each other in our marriage. And then when we get a lot of money, we don't go crazy. And now, yeah, let's get every head to toe Louis Vuitton. Head to toe. And so what there is you need this peace, because this peace brings rhythm. And without the peace, many times it opens us up to anxiety. Let me just say this to you, because most of you are a lot younger than me, but I want to tell you, as life goes on, it will give you more excuses to be anxious. When you was 20, you was like, yeah, I'll do anything for Jesus. And then as you get older, you start to realize, yeah, I'll do some things for Jesus. And then by the time you get to the end of your 20s, you're like, yeah, I don't know what I can do for Jesus. Because life will give you more and more. I'm 45. And more, I survive by the peace. More and more, not just anxiety, even mental health. You are not meant to worry. You are not built to worry. Some of you here, your minds are running. That it's almost like a car that's out of gear, but your foot is fully on the pedal, going nowhere but consuming fuel. You're consuming fuel. What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? What's going to happen with this? You're not changing any of the things you're worrying about. You just continue to worry. And it's mental health. You weren't made for that. God wants you to have peace. Where it'd almost be like we come into the car and we say, listen. You're not going anywhere. This is a waste of time. Lift your foot off there. Let's turn the engine off. And let's just have peace. Because you weren't going anywhere anyway. Let's sit down, let's work out a plan, let's see where we're going, but let's just have some peace. And some of you are hungry for that. Some of you are starving for that. God wants to give that to you. This is why God sent Jesus as a child. This is why when you look at that child in a manger, we should be so happy. Oh, the Prince of Peace has come. I can have peace. Every single person here, you can have peace. Not just one day or maybe. No, every single person here, peace is within your grasp. See, inner peace moves to outer peace. See, Jesus brings this peace. See, Jesus brings peace to us because he brings peace between us and God. See, this is where peace really comes from. And this is where we get a little bit theological, but bear with me because it's going to make sense. Because so far I've dealt very much on the natural. But I want to say to you is that the reason why there's no inner peace is because there's no peace between us and God many times. That's what's the problem. There's no peace between us and God. And what do you mean no peace? Well, in literal terms, like when you see two countries warring, there's no peace. When two countries are warring against each other, there's no peace. There's no peace. And so those two countries have to come to a place of agreement. And sometimes what they do is they get a mediator, someone who comes in, listens to one side, and then comes to the other side and brings peace. That is what Jesus has done between us and God the Father. He has brought peace with your Maker. Some of you might be like, I didn't know I was at war with God. But you are. Until you get saved. Romans 5 verse 10. Look what it says. Let's put it up. I need that up so that people can really read that. Look what it says here. For if when we were what? Enemies. He's talking about with God. We were reconciled to God. Reconciliation means you've come together. Through the death of his son, Christ has brought us close and reconciled us to God. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then it goes on, it says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I want to say to you in this place, and maybe you're not a Christian here, and you've come to church today, and we're not to batter you or judge you, but we're just saying, all of us at one point were enemies with God. All of us. We were enemies with God. We were fighting against God. And you might be like, what do you mean? Well, God was trying to lead us and guide us. And we're like, get off. I don't want to do what you want me to do. I want to do my own thing. We were living our lives against the things that God wanted to do. We were living our life our own way, by our own will. If you're here and you're not saved, the Bible says that you've made yourself, he hasn't made himself an enemy with you. You've made yourself an enemy with him. He has not made himself an enemy with you. Far from it. He wants to save you. The word reconciliation is restoration of relationship and peace before where there was hostility and alienation. See, this inner peace comes from when we have peace with God. When I'm at peace, the reason why I'm out of sync with all of creation is because I'm not in sync with the Creator. Everything else in this world is in sync with the Creator. The sun shines because it was told to shine. Never do you get up and the sun's like, no. Let the moon do it today. The sun does what it was meant to do. Dolphins. You don't see a dolphin hop up onto the thing and say, I'm a dog. Whoop. You don't see that. Dolphins, everything in life does what the Creator made it. It's all in sync with the Creator. But only man. Only man. And this is why we lose peace. We're out of harmony with God. There's no balance. And nothing can fix this other than Jesus. See, some people here, you believe that there are things that can fix this lack of peace in your life. Nothing can fix it, only Jesus. See, if you're rich in this place, your riches are not fixing it. You just can afford more escapisms than me. That's all it really means. Your riches can't fix it. You can just afford to escape more than me. See, my escapisms could go as far as, like I said, some tenants and some weed. Maybe you can go to the south of France and drink some champagne. And then next week you're going to go somewhere else. But I want to tell you, one day, something's going to hit your life and you're going to realize, my money can't fix this one. This is why you see many times rich people that we think they're riches. How can they be so depressed and so empty? And because there's nothing wrong with riches. Listen, we're not saying it's wrong. We're saying whether you're poor or rich, that's not the issue. The issue is peace. See, when there is no peace with God, and then there's no peace with you, and let me touch upon this a little bit, it's going to be hard for you to have peace with others. Listen what I've said. When there's no peace with God, you've got no peace with God, now you've got no peace in yourself, you're going to find it very hard to have peace with others. There's going to be a very select type of person you could have peace with. They've got to be just like you, from the same country, from the same tribe, at the same age, at the same ends, born on the same day. These are the only people you can really have a little bit of peace with. And even them, you gossip behind their back. See, the real test is that we can have peace with all different types of people. Me and my wife, we were here a little bit early, and we parked across the road where we usually park. And across the road is like a yoga thing. I don't know what they're doing there, but I see a man and woman come out of that place doing yoga. So praise God. But on the side, it says bringing people together. But I want to be honest with you. We were sitting there for 20 minutes. We was here early. We just saw, And all the people that came out of there were pretty much the same type of person, from the same type of background, the same type of people. And I said to my wife, really, those people would be mates anyway. You could see them people in the pub together. They're like the same type of people. That place hasn't brought anybody together. They're just the same. But when you look at the church is such a marvelous creation. Because how many know there's people in this room that never in a million years would you ever hang with? Come on, let's be honest. Come on, let's be honest. There's people in your row. There's someone right now beside you. Your best friends. You would have never been friends in the world. Never. Don't tell them that right now. I would have never liked you. Yeah, me. We don't really move with your type. No. That's not going to help nobody. Don't be going on like that now. You know why? Because when there's peace with God, there's peace within, there's peace between us. Now, I want to say this to you. If you're at beef with somebody right now, that beef is not the real problem. The real problem is there's a problem here. That's where the real problem is. There's a problem. Your problem is not a horizontal problem. Your problem is a vertical problem. You have a vertical problem. When you have a vertical problem, you'll constantly have horizontal problems. You'll constantly have horizontal problems because where there is no peace with you and God, and some of you here, you're saved, but you're just not doing God's will. You're not doing what God told you to do. You haven't dealt with that thing that God has been telling you to deal with. And God is constantly reminding you, let's do this. God, I want to get married. Let's do this. God, I need a job. Let's do this. He keeps coming back to this. I know, yeah, we'll sort that later. God, I need this. God's like, do this. Straighten yourself out. Straighten your vertical relationship out. And your horizontal life will start to straighten out. When your vertical relationship is not right, your horizontal relationships will not be right. You're like, oh, it's them. Why are they like that? No, it's not them. Because last week it was them. And next week it will be them. And you keep going from this to this to this to this. You have to realize at some point. See, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, and this really speaks to us as Christians. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now imagine all things are of God. I was going to get some illustration, but time's moving on, so I'm not going to do it. But imagine we had multiple people on this stage, loads of people, 10 people on this stage, and we would say all things are of God. All of them are of God, but they're all going in all different directions. And what God wants is all of his stuff to be one, and he wants to bring them all together, reconciliation. And so what God has first done, he calls us to Jesus. And so we come to Jesus and we are reconciled with him. The next thing, he wants us to go out and find people that are not saved and tell them about Jesus, and they become reconciled with him. Everything about his ministry is all about reconciling everything to him. This is why when you have beef in your marriage, husband is there, wife is there, real Christianity is constantly going to be doing what? Bringing you back. Reconciling you to him. Everything. There could be someone in the church right now. You're not talking to another person in the church. That sister won't talk to that. I know it doesn't happen here, but just pretend. That sister don't talk to that sister. I want to tell you, if you're really spiritual and God is really in you, what he's going to be doing is constantly giving us the ministry of reconciliation, that eventually you're doing everything you can to bring everything into one. This is why God doesn't want divided churches. He doesn't want just all young people and then all old people. He wants everything reconciled to him. He doesn't want all the Nigerian people there and all the Jamaicans there and all the Ghanaians there and all the English there. No, what he wants is all to be reconciled to him. Everything that God is always doing and always will do is the ministry of reconciliation, because only then is there true peace and effectiveness in the church. And that is the testimony of a Holy Ghost church. When people come in the building, they'll be like, my days, how come these people are all together? They should be shocked. They'll be like, wow, I've never seen this thing before. This is a strange thing. Look at these people. We've got young people, we've got old people, we've got white people, we've got black people, we've got rich people, we've got poor people, we've got men and women, we've got this people, we've got those people. And that is when we say, this is different. This is different.
Somebody said to me one time, no, Pastor, you know, this church, it's not really my type of church. And what they were saying is they're like educated higher now. They've went to uni and they've done that. You're right, it ain't your type of church. This ain't your type of church. Because we don't want no snobs up in the house of God. We don't want no snobs in there. If you're a snob, this ain't your church. Repent of your snobbish ways or find a snobbish church. We don't care with your IQ. You can be dumb, you can be highly educated. We don't care. We just love everybody. We don't care. We really don't business. We don't care at all. You may live in a one-bedroom, tiny little thing in the corner of the thing. You may live in a mansion bigger than this building. We don't care. We come together and we join together. If I come to this house, then I'm going to eat whatever you give me. And I'm going to enjoy it. Thank you. Praise God. If I come to this house and you've got first course, second course, third course, main second course, dessert, cheese and crackers, you know about that? Cheese and crackers, yeah. Hors d'oeuvres. Listen, praise God. I don't know what I'm talking about. See, this is the ministry that God has given us. He says he has given us the ministry. Every single Christian here, you're in ministry right now. Your ministry is to reconcile everything in your life to God. And the reason why I think the Holy Spirit has designed this series in this way is because he wants you to leave some of that beef in 2018. Amen. And don't carry it to 2019. He don't want you to poison the new year with this old junk. You gotta leave some of this junk today at the altar. Today we're gonna leave here and we're gonna clear out the junk. We're gonna do some cleaning in this place. Let me close with this. This word peace, he's the Prince of Peace. He governs peace. Where he tells peace to go, it will go. You ask him for peace, he'll give you peace. The word peace, like I said, the Hebrew word is the word shalom. The word peace in Hebrew, like I said, it's not a passive thing. When we think of peace, we're like, oh, just peace. No one's doing nothing. Nothing is moving. It's peace. Something. Peace. That's not what the Bible says. Peace is proactive. What it means is it's bringing peace. Everywhere it goes, if there's a mess there, it brings peace. The word peace in Hebrew, shalom, it actually means prosperity. It says a peace that will bring a prosperity to your life, that you're actually prospering, that things are successful because of this peace. Things are actually moving. Because you're at peace now, you can function. Because there's a harmony. If you know anything about sports and people that are effective, whether running or racing or swimming, there has to be a rhythm. There has to be an efficiency. What it means is maximizing your efficiency. When you're at peace, you've got that rhythm. You're not wasting energy. You're not losing time with friction and traction and all of these things. What it means is when there's peace, there's a prosperity. How many want 2019 to be a prosperous year? I need that. I need our church to prosper. I want to tell you, it comes when we are at peace. Vertically, horizontally, and then what we see is now we are prospering. God is just waiting to put everything in line, and then he says, now turn on the prosperity. It means success, welfare, or well-being, a healthy state. The Bible speaks about not being anxious for stuff. It tells us don't be anxious. Look at someone, say, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Whatever right now you're worrying about, I want you to just lay it down. Lay it down, lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. Whatever you're worrying about right now, lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. I want the praise and worship team to come up. Come up, 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 come up. There are people here, whatever you're anxious about, God wants you to lay it down today. God does not want you to bring these worries into the new year. God says, listen, I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you peace. Look what it says in Philippians 4:7. He says, if you will pray and you will believe God and you will not be anxious, he says, and the peace of God, we got it up there? You see it? What does it say? The first four words, five words. Let's read it. 1, 2, 3. And the peace of God. Stop there. Start again. 1, 2, 3. And the peace of God. Who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus. Listen, the peace of God. He says, if you would just let go of those anxieties, pray. Just give it to God. He says, his peace, which surpasses all understanding. Surpasses all understanding. What that means is that God's going to give you a peace that you don't even understand. People are going to look at you and be like, but this is... See, we think peace comes when everything's worked out. This is not heaven. It will never all work out here. Imagine if everything you wanted, you got. Like, I want a car. It's a car. I want a house. I want a pony. Everything you wanted, you just got it. This would be like heaven. Actually, it probably wouldn't. It would be more like hell. But you understand what I mean. Everything will never be everything here. So if you're waiting for if you're one of these people, I'm like this. I'm a type A person. I like everything organized, everything knowing what I'm doing, everywhere I'm knowing what I'm going. The worst thing you can do to me is surprise me with things. Because I get, what's going to happen? How's this going to work? I hate that. I'm a type A person. I got to know exactly where I'm going, what's going on, and all of those things. This is how I am. But the problem is, God has shown me over the years, Courtney, you're just giving yourself more anxiety because you're never going to be able to figure out everything. I could plan everything. Planning the service starts at this time, this starts, this, and you know what? Something just goes wrong. Because that's life. I've got my budget. Yeah, this is my budget. And then some, right now as it stands, my cooker don't work. Thank you, sister. See? Disciples. Think about this now. Right now, it's not like a major thing. Please, nobody do anything. We've got to sort it, yeah? The people in this church, they're good people. Before I know it, there'll be two cookers waiting for me outside. Someone's trying to get a cooker. Sister Julie's putting a cooker in my car. No. We got to sort it. What I'm saying is, you can write your budget, but things happen. Yeah, this is what we're going to do this year. And then you get sick. Yeah. You have to take 6 months off work. And then it's like, it's God. Listen, this peace that God gives us is beyond understanding. People will be like, I don't understand where you get this peace from. There are people that can earn 10 times as much as you have and never have the peace you have. There are people here that, listen, they're like, if I was where your situation are, I could never have the peace. But you're like, no. The Bible says that the peace of God, which will surpass all understanding, people will not understand it. Look what it says here. Will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. It's going to guard you this year. Nothing will be able to get into you. It doesn't mean that you won't be in some stuff. It means nothing won't get into you. It will guard you. Something tries to come, this peace will guard it. You're not touching the heart or the mind of this person.
Yeah, amen.
He said, what did the doctor say? No. You're not touching. It's guarding you. It won't get to you. It's guarded. It's wife, come forward. Look at this beautiful woman. Woo! The other day we was out in Blue Water. I just want to say a little testimony. Not really a testimony, but pray for me. Some brother walked past my wife and he just looked like that. And I see that brother, yeah? Some old guys. I just looked at him. And when he looked and see my eyes, he realized they're together. Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes people look at us and be like, I don't want this Egyptian, Italian, wherever I am, this beautiful Nigerian princess. Listen, maybe the looks confuse you, but this is my wife. So he might have seen us and thought we weren't together, but listen, when he saw eyes, My eyelids communicated, spoke to me. We're together. Say the don't move. Protect him. That's what peace will do. It will protect you. Nothing will get in. See, the beauty of being a Christian is God makes you like you're waterproof. Something that's waterproof can be in the water, but the water doesn't get in it.
Yes.
See, this life is going to be all around you all the time. And you can be in it. See, in my industry of lighting, and not just lighting, they use it now in phones, there's a thing called an IP rating. If you have an iPhone, you have a high IP rating. If you have a Samsung, I don't know. IP stands for ingress protection. What it means is how much will get into it, how much dust will get into it, how much fluid will get into it. If you have a 77, that's a high IP, no ingress. We can leave it outside and it can rain on it and it can do all this on it. But listen, you just take it off and it's ready to go. See, that's what God wants to do. He wants to wrap you in his peace. He wants to protect you in his peace. He wants to guard you in his peace. That it doesn't matter what nobody says. Hey, so-and-so don't like you. Praise God. I like you. Hey, so-and-so's talking about you. They lied about you. Listen, I heard a preacher say this the other day and I had to steal it. When people lie about you, know this much. The truth is worse. How many know who you are? How many know you know who you are? If you're here and you're saved, you know the truth is worse. Because we know who we are. And who knows the truth? God. And who still loves us?
God.
See, all of this peace, all of this is wrapped around us. And it will go beyond understanding. This year, we want a year of peace. I'm marching into 2019 with peace. I'm going to see God's peace guide me and keep me. In Jesus' name. Let's give Jesus a clap of praise. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.